flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. And of course, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line wide open, 913-586-7965. Hope everybody's having a good start to their Tuesday. Our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, is going to call in here in about a half hour. A lot to get to with him. We'll certainly get his perspective on opening weekend of the NFL playoffs, what's ahead, the path for the Chiefs. And we're about a month away from spring training, too.
Wow.
Saw that sent out a day or two ago, and a lot of the players were sharing like the Royal social media stuff. So
I will say the photos of Arizona look nice.
They do.
The like bright, sunshiny weather seems okay.
This next month, typically, if all goes the way we all hope it goes, is like a blur because the Chiefs go on deep playoff runs and it's the Super Bowl. And then next thing you know, it's spring training. Like that's how it's been the last 2 years. And hopefully it happens again this year. We're like the next thing you know, we're going to all wake up and it's going to be March 1st. Okay.
That's spring training following a playoff appearance from the Kansas City Royals for the first time in a decade. So like hype spring training goal during the rest of this Chiefs run, we actually haven't gotten that. During the time the Chiefs have been excellent, the best team in the league, winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl, the Royals have been non-existent. They were actually next to each other. The Royals, 14-15. Andy Reid showed up in 13. All of a sudden, a few years after that, Mahomes shows up, and then these teams are different. But by that time, the Royals stunk. I'm thrilled at the idea that a spring training with consequence starts into a regular season with consequence, ideally following a third consecutive Super Bowl.
That's right. So we'll have Vinny join us in about a half hour. And of course, our divisional round coverage brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. So it's go time on Saturday for Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs team. And you think about what he's been able to do in this particular round too, and in the playoffs, like some of the numbers that are out there in the history that he can already chase is just absurd. I mean, you probably saw the numbers that were floating around in the last, I don't know, a couple days, just about what Patrick Mahomes
really
has done.
Really 2 weeks. I think everybody knows
what he's done in the divisional round. Remember, these are teams that didn't skate by and just got a wild card spot. No, they had to either win a playoff game or they had a bye. And yet Patrick Mahomes is perfect in the divisional round. 1,800 yards, 16 touchdowns. He's not thrown a pick ever in the divisional
that's
round.
Stupid.
And like then you can go further down, like completion percentage is above 70%. It's just insane stuff. Like he's almost been perfect in this round that the Chiefs are going to play on Saturday.
I'm a little annoyed that Tom Brady exists, not because, like, he just, you know, kind of annoys you anyway. Like, he'll always be the quarterback I hate. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes will be that for every other fan base for the foreseeable future, right? Everybody got tired of it, and I got it. But when you start looking at it, if it wasn't for the, I would say, separate standard that Tom Brady had set for those things, Patrick Mahomes has pretty much already accomplished maximum peak of every other quarterback who has ever played in the playoffs in NFL history. He will, with a short playoff run, not even one all the way to the Super Bowl, just a regular old run-of-the-mill short playoff run, be second in a huge number of stats in playoff history. Total touchdowns, he's not that far off from yards moving up the list, he's not that far off from touchdown-to-interception ratio. As it sits right now, he is about 2,000 yards away from being second all-time in the playoffs. So he's not going to hit that this year. But he's only one touchdown away from tying Joe Montana. Again, the age part of this is all what's factored in. I'm not here to tell you to, like, cherish it, because I'm assuming at this point Chiefs fans kind of get it. But it's kind of hard to imagine that at 29 years old, he has essentially accomplished all you can accomplish in a postseason unless your name is Tom Brady. Numbers he can still try to go get. But yeah, his divisional round record is essentially like, I walk into this week, and I know I shouldn't. I walk into this week being like, I barely care. And I know you're like, but how? It's the playoffs. Because he's never played in not the next game. This game, he wins this one. Sorry. He's only ever lost in overtime in an AFC championship game or in a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. His season doesn't end in the divisional round. So, like, it's hard for me when I start looking at the stats to not think that, you know, to not just like kind of like let it take it in. Wow. What numbers these are.
We've been spoiled here, not just with his play, but the expectation now is, well, yeah, AFC title game. Like, of course. Like, yeah. Like, the wild card round, that stuff doesn't matter. Divisional round, that doesn't really matter. Now, you got to win those or have a bye to get there. But that is where we're at when we talk about this franchise. That's the standard that they've set, the expectation they've created themselves. Mm-hmm. That it's like, yeah, we don't, winning a divisional round game anymore is not a big deal. There was a time where that was a huge deal. Getting out of wild card weekend there was a long stretch. It was not that long ago. It was actually, they broke it against the Houston Texans, which was finally a road playoff win or whatever it was, right? Alex Smith.
They won a playoff game.
Nile Davis had the kickoff return, right? We all remember that. Like, that was something we were trying to just get over the hump for at one point in time. And now fast forward to where we're at, and it's all about a three-peat this year, but all about also getting to another AFC title game or the AFC Invitational, whatever you want to call it at this point in time. He's just, this run that he's been part of has just been sensational. I mean, we can keep going through numbers all day long. I mean, in general,
like, I already gave you his 18 game numbers like 2 weeks ago. His 18 games in the playoff, he has like 5,400 passing yards and 41 touchdowns and single digit interceptions. I mean, it's hard to know where to start sometimes on those goals, because you're right. They start to sound kind of fake, don't they? Like, these don't even seem realistic as a possibility, because the only person he is left chasing is Tom Brady, like, already.
Yeah.
He's not chasing Joe Montana. He's not chasing, like, I get it. Technically, he's got to get one more Super Bowl title in order to, like, get to Bradshaw, get to Montana, get to some of the people. But, like, does anyone think, like, right now, Gold, if I gave you 10-1, would you take that he doesn't win a fourth Super Bowl in his career?
No.
I mean, be ludicrous. Even if I gave you 10-1, you'd be like, I'm not taking that bet. Sucker bet.
Yeah, it'd have to be way, way better odds for me. Now, I'm not saying.
And 10-1 are pretty good odds a lot of bets.
For this year, they're like 5-1 or something. Like, for it to happen this year, you're asking me for
the rest of time.
Cody's only giving me 10-1 for another 10
what
years.
What would the number have to be for me to say that
Patrick would be worse than that. Like, it'd have to be better odds than that.
Yeah. Like, it's just. that's the world in which we live.
They're 5 or 6-1 to win the Super Bowl most years anyway on an individual year. So I'm definitely not taking, you know, it's not good enough odds for me to get, you know, 10-1 over a 10-year period that they're not going
to
do.
I'm trying to think about what number you really would have to. Because, again, what a hater bet that is. You're just going the next 15 years waiting to find out if Patrick Mahomes gets another Super Bowl when you all know what the inevitable thing is. Because it sits right now. So passer rating, this is the first 17 playoff starts. That's what Patrick Mahomes is in. The quarterback rating of Patrick Mahomes is 106.3. Peyton Manning was 87.5. Joe Montana was 97.5. Tom Brady was 88. Now, Joe Montana was 13-4. Brady was 14-3. Patrick Mahomes was 14-3. Very similar. Patrick Mahomes has a better completion percentage, yards per attempt, total number of touchdowns, the fewest interceptions, the better touchdown to interception ratio, the most yards per game, even more than Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan. He has the fifth highest yards per attempt. I mean, he has the single highest playoff winning percentage in NFL history. I mean, he is an all-time great. And it's just crazy sometimes because he's not 30.
Yeah, he's not 30. And I would also say any of these numbers in categories, we all know when it's all said and done, whether it's 10 years from now or more, you know, he is only going to be on a list with him
and
Tom Brady. That's it. So you're right. Like, yeah, he's past Manning and all these other Hall of Famers and everything. But that's why we are already having discussions for the last 3 years even about, hey, is he the great? Will he be the greatest of all time? Is he? What does he have to do? All this, like,
that conversation is going to skyrocket, right?
Yeah, and we'll have more of those if this team gets to another Super Bowl and wins the next 2 weeks. But it starts on Saturday. And, of course, you can hear the game. 3:30 kickoff right here on your home for the Chiefs. 96.5 The Fan. Meanwhile, the coaching carousel does continue. And, boy, we've got some juicy stuff late last night.
Can't ask for any juicier, I don't think.
The Dallas Cowboys being involved automatically because of Jerry Jones, you know, adds to it. And then there was reports confirmed by multiple national NFL writers now, including Adam Schefter, that Jerry Jones did speak to Deion Sanders about their head coaching vacancy.
Awesome.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, just for the pure entertainment, I hope this happens so badly. And I'm not,
yes,
and this is not me even hating on Deion Sanders. He's done a great job at Colorado. But the entertainment of one huge, massive ego with an owner that wants all the credit in the world and those meshed together. Oh, it would be amazing. It's why I also don't think it's going to happen, because I don't believe Jerry Jones is willing to let someone that would clearly get way more attention every single week when he speaks than when Jerry Jones speaks. And that would be, of course, Deion Sanders. I would love it for just the pure entertainment and what we would all get to enjoy throughout an NFL season, plus the draft talk lead up and what does it mean for Shador Sanders and would they trade Dak? Can they trade Dak? We can get to that in a second. All of it would just be incredible theater, and that's what makes the NFL great as well. But man, I also, if I'm just looking at it from the outside and seeing the quotes and the quote from Deion last night to Adam Schefter saying how it was delightful and intriguing to hear from Jerry, but he loves Boulder and yada, yada, yada. I think they're both using each other for their own benefit, which they're both getting what they want. Jerry Jones is getting the attention and he's going to drag this out for as long as possible. Here we are in Kansas City talking about the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. And then Deion's getting what he wants because he also has a massive ego, but he wants more money from Colorado. They're both doing what they want.
He's an all-time Cowboys great. Why can't he just, bring him on like Vrabel to the Patriots, you know, bring back the guy from the glory years that helped you get there. And obviously Deion has done. Like, I think sometimes it's easy because it's such a sideshow. Colorado was the worst Power 5 program in the country when he took over. And look, I'll ask a normal question, which is like, how will Deion Sanders do when his kids aren't all available to kick ass for him? And instead he's got to go find. Now look, Travis Hunter's not his
kid. He's also recruiting pretty damn good still.
No, he is. Yeah. I mean, I no reason to think not. He's going to make Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter two of the top five picks in the NFL draft. So if I were a player and I thought, well, damn, Deion's got there. And I've told you before, if you've ever stood on the football field in Colorado Boulder, I can't believe you couldn't recruit people.
Beautiful place, yeah.
Based on just like the area to go play there. Now, look, other people have nice backdrops. Boulder's just a cooler city than some of the other college towns. Like, would you rather live there or would you rather go live in Stillwell or, you know, whatever, right?
Stillwell.
Or Stillwater.
Stillwell, Kansas. Yeah, I mean, I would.
Stillwater.
Shout out to Stillwell.
Would you rather live in Boulder or Lubbock?
I didn't know there was a college
in
Stillwell.
Have you been to Lubbock?
No, I have not. I'm trying to think which. No, I have not been to Lubbock. Okay. The joke with Lubbock is like it's so flat. Like literally, you could. The joke people tell about Lubbock is you could lose your dog and still see it walking away days later. That's the joke. It's like there's nothing there in Stillwater.
It doesn't matter. I don't know anything about Stillwell, I guess, either, clearly. But when you look at way the stretches, I love this. Please, football gods, give me this. It's on the NFC side. I don't have any. I almost foresee no way in which it doesn't completely implode inside of 3 years. But damn it, it would be just excellent television the entire time. Because then, if they hire, let's just say they hire Deion tomorrow. They're not going to go that quick, but let's just say they hire Deion tomorrow. Then we'd get to spend the next 3 months trying to figure out if Deion Sanders could convince Jerry Jones to eat $80 to $100 million in dead cap and find a way to pick from like 12 to like pick 3.
I don't think it can be done.
And then tell those teams that you can't draft Shadur because he won't play for anyone but me, his papa. And that's it. And unless you could do that, we're not going anywhere. And that's what I want. I want all the random speculation, the Shadur Sanders stuff. I want
please,
all,
Papa.
I want all part of this to exist in the NFL. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't see everything you outlined. I don't know if it's possible. I also would think if he took the job, got offered the job, the whole Shadur Sanders part would have to be most likely part of the agreement. Like, hey, if I'm coming here, you're pulling this off. I just don't know if it's actually possible. You referenced the Dak Prescott contract and the dead cap money that we're discussing. This is not even the same as Russell Wilson. Hey, oh, just eat the $60 million. We are talking about eating like $100 million, depending on when they would trade or whatever Dak. I mean, it is
minimum
way more.
80, and you'd have to wait till June 1st, which means you wouldn't even get to trade Dak for the draft pick. You'd have to wait until after. Now, if you're eating $80 million, just eat $100. What's the difference?
So there's that.
You know? And then taking the L.
And then, as you said, the 12th overall pick. Like, it's one thing to pull an Eli Manning and say, my son's not playing for the Chargers or whatever, you know, or LA.
Get past our team.
But 12 spots? You're telling 11 teams not to draft your son? I don't think you can do that in the NFL.
A quarterback light draft, I guess.
But it's fun. Like, ultimately, does any of us think he's taking the job or getting off of the job? I don't, as much as I would love it. I mean, yesterday, some of the real names that were being reported out of Dallas, before Deion's name even was out there, like truly from a, hey, no, confirmed conversation, Jason Witten? That's a real name that they threw at Jason Witten? Then there was some more realistic names, like Kellen Moore or John Gruden's name, which is interesting, I think. I could totally see that being a spot for Gruden and Jerry, because he still gets a name.
Seems like Jerry doesn't care,
because they got, you know, Jerry's Jerry, right?
He also just doesn't care. Like, the backlash won't get through.
It's the Cowboys. He doesn't care. He does his own thing.
Because there will be backlash. But
sure.
Yeah, he won't
less
care.
There than other places, you would agree, right? Just because it's the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones just operates differently than everybody else in the league. I love it. I think this is going to drag on for a while, though, because both have a goal in mind. I think Deion wants his new contract at Colorado, and he deserves it, in fairness. And Jerry Jones just loves the fact that everybody's talking about the Dallas Cowboys today.
Is this, I mean, I'll be honest, because the Chiefs are always making these deep runs, I obviously have not been paying attention to the timing as much as I used to. Does it always take this long to kind of figure out who's going to get hired where? I feel like we're now 2 weeks into it. And I felt like by
the timing of stuff.
Yeah. Because I was like, usually by now, I feel like I should be hearing that it's likely Ben Johnson is going to take blank or, you know, like right now we got Vrabel. He was obviously going to be the first one off the board just based on the fact that clearly the Jets even sped up the Patriots sped up their firing process just to get to Vrabel sooner. But like, you don't typically want to be like, I don't think you want to be team 4 or 5 still looking. I think you'd like to be moving in there. And look, some of the problems are the normal ones. The coaches you want to hire are typically in the postseason. So in order to have a second round of interviews with Ben Johnson, he's got to either get eliminated or get further into the playoffs so that you've got like a day where you can meet with him, where he's not actively doing game plan prep in order to get there. Same with Spags and Matt Nagy, who've gotten interviews with multiple organizations. Just based on the number of teams, which it's always about the same, 5 or 6, there's always 1 to 2 hires you never expect. There's always the, like, we didn't know who the hell Dave Canales was, right? Yeah. There's always 1 or 2 where you're like, oh, him? That's your head coach? I don't see why Deion can't be that, man. I don't see why Deion can't be the 1 to 2. I don't put it like 50-50, but I don't think it's a no.
And this is not like, it's because of, clearly, we're talking about, like, every coach has an ego or whatever, but we're talking about Jerry Jones, who is all about me owner as you could ever have in professional sports, period. And then you have Deion, who is very much all about himself. I'm not saying he's a bad coach and doesn't help his kids and everything like that. It's not, but we would all agree he's got a massive ego as well. I don't know how those mesh. Like, how does Jerry and Deion, you know, a name you and I brought up
off air. Mike McCarthy's the opposite of that, right? He's got no buzz.
You and I brought up off air yesterday, just in one of the commercial breaks. We were like, a name would be interesting there, especially if Notre Dame wins the national title next Monday. It's Marcus Freeman. Now, if you're Marcus Freeman,
I mean, we all think that the NFL's probably not out of the question for him down the road.
But is this the job you take, knowing that you probably have some other opportunities in the future?
I just think if you're Freeman, man, you have... This is the one thing I think that is underrated about being an elite-level college coach who's proven success. If you're Marcus Freeman and you fail in Dallas, you could just go back to college and get Alabama. You can get whatever you want. Saban failed in Miami and got Alabama. You could do what if you were a massive success at the college level, which right now Freeman is. If he goes on to win the national championship, you take a Notre Dame to a national championship after 15 years of Kelly doing absolutely nothing. So he immediately becomes the darling of college football. He could go to any NFL program. And if it doesn't work out, he can get the single best job available in college football that day. I don't care if you think it's Texas or Alabama or Georgia or whatever is open during the time he has to go back to college, he can have it. And so like that, I think that's like, just as long as you don't mind working in college, it'd make me way less risk. Or like it'd feel less risky for me to go take an NFL job, knowing I can just go get whatever job.
He's getting interviewed with the Bears, isn't he? The Bears put in a request, I believe,
I think they requested. Yeah, I don't know if the interview happened or not.
Probably not, because he's prepping for the national title.
But I think they did request, and we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the Cowboys are not, I mean, they just had an opening yesterday, so they're not hiring anybody themselves anytime soon. The NFL playoffs, in the way they've changed it, is slowed the process down, unless you had somebody in mind right away and you thought you were the front runner, like the Vrabel thing. But I'm also fascinated on the secondary part. Where does Mike McCarthy go? Because we're all talking about Dallas and Deion's a big name.
I still think Saints.
I do, unless there's some other surprise thing. You know, is Todd Bowles for sure staying with the Tampa Bay Bucks? Not that he's going to get fired. We've talked on air, I think, some rumblings out there. Maybe would he retire if that were to actually happen? Well, then if I'm Mike McCarthy, that becomes a really... Heck, if I'm Ben Johnson, even Tampa would be kind of interesting at that
same
point.
Same problem, though. You're still kind of limited on a short-term solution at quarterback. It's like...
How old's Baker, though?
I don't know, 30, but like the cost...
I think he's Mahomes' age, isn't he? He's 29. He'll be 30 in April, like Mahomes, right, or whatever. Or Mahomes will be 30 in September, but you have the point.
The cost on it, though, you know, because of what you got to pay quarterback, it's like it is harder to win with Baker than it is with some of the other top 10 level quarterbacks based on how much you got to pay Baker versus other quarterbacks and those other things. So like I wouldn't hate having Baker if I'm walking into a coaching situation, but if Ben Johnson wasn't willing to even take a job in which he knew Jaden Daniels was going to be the quarterback. Maybe he didn't like him coming out of the draft. I don't know. But like, you still got to make those decisions at least based on that. And so I think a lot of it is, I don't know how much pickier he's going to be or remain to be, but I mean, I feel like it's just going to be the Saints. I feel like he knew he could get the Saints job. And honestly, the Saints, just like the Bears, like the Bears shouldn't go after Freeman. Not that I don't think he can be a good coach. They need the stabilizer. They need someone to make you a serious franchise again. Like, sometimes teams just need that. Doesn't mean you can't get a new coach in a couple of years, try to rework this thing, but you need someone who can just stabilize Caleb Williams.
The thing that could change all of this is if the Steelers actually did what we discussed yesterday, which is mutually part ways with Mike Tomlin, or if Mike Tomlin says, I'm out, I want out, and I want to be traded to blank team, I already have a deal in place, whatever it may be. That could change this entire... I mean, that changes everything for what the Bears can or can't do, what the Cowboys can or can't do. Obviously, then Pittsburgh becomes a really attractive job based on the stability that that franchise has had. So there's a huge trickle-down effect, but yeah, the Deion stuff is... It's fun. It's fun. We'll see if anything really comes from it, though. Reminder, coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll be joined by Vinny Pasquantino. I'm sure we'll ask him about some of the rumors that are out there as well. I found something to be interesting, though, as we're talking about, you know, how we access and view certain sporting events. And this playoff weekend was an example. Some of the games were on Prime Video. We know that some of them in the past have only been on Peacock and things like that, and how we watch traditional TV versus streaming. I saw this from Sports Business Journal that the NFL's audience is aging on traditional TV. So Prime Video is drawing a younger crowd. This probably makes a lot of sense for a lot of you, right?
It tracks.
20% of Amazon Prime's NFL viewers are age 18 to 34. And this article talks about how Amazon Prime is becoming the go-to platform for the next generation of sports fans. And this is what Amazon Prime wanted. And it makes sense. If you're someone that's 18 to 34, pretty much your whole life, you've grown up with streaming, especially the younger end, maybe not 34, but like the younger end of that. Definitely if you're 18, it's been all about streaming.
Yeah.
Versus if you're over the age of 34. Like
my young kid the other day is like, I hate these commercials. Like we were watching like YouTube TV or something. It's like PBS Kids. I don't know. Whatever. He's like, I hate these. I was like, sorry, man. This is the way it works sometimes. Anyway.
But I think there's a lot of people, and I'm in this group too, though, where it's like, yeah, but I got to have seven of these streaming services. But this just is why, if you're wondering, why is everything trending in this direction? Well, here you go. Amazon already knows that the future, if you will, right? 18 to 34, they're already getting 20% of that for NFL viewership.
So if you thought that there was a chance maybe we'd get less Prime exclusive game coming up, no. It's going to be more. It's going to be more and more and more. The Peacock exclusive games, the Prime exclusive games, the ones that we're kind of getting used to, that is only going to increase because now we've seen fighting inside the streaming platforms for that content. What do you think Netflix is getting in the game and Hulu? And like Hulu has live sports. Was their tagline like 4 years ago? Like they were trying so hard in the early going. Problem is they just don't have the pockets Amazon does. Amazon and Netflix can virtually blank check some of these games. And so, yeah, I do think we're going to get more and more and more of these. The only thing I ask the NFL is the same thing we've talked about before, which I think relates to like baseball and NHL and NBA. They can't fight this, right? They just have to go on these streaming platforms and hope that you'll come find these on these streaming platforms. And they won't care whether you do or not, just as long as the streaming platforms keep paying the money to have the rights. What I don't want the NFL to ever get rid of is the ability to watch it locally. Yeah. If I am in Kansas City, I should still get to watch it on local TV. I don't think we're close to losing it. No. The problem is the more and more and more they have success on these, the harder it is to make the argument they should do it that way.
The other number that stood out just with this is that, so CBS, NBC, Fox, ESPN, 50% of their audience is 55 or older. Prime is only 39%, which makes sense. What we just discussed, the older demographic is like, I'm not doing the streaming thing. The younger demographic is used to
already
it.
In it.
So yeah, there, so there's a gap. 15% more of the demo 55 plus is willing to watch on CBS, NBC, Fox for the reason we just brought up. And then that's where Amazon Prime doesn't have it.
It's just weird. I don't know, man. It's going to be kind of weirder and weirder to have to like flip between these. And again, the one thing it ruins is like, and look, we got Red Zone now, so maybe it doesn't matter, but like, let's just say it's that time where there's only like two interesting games in the 3:30 slot, two big games in the 3:30 slot. You want to flip between them, Gold. You can't really flip between them the way, you know, I can't just like be on CBS for one and be on Fox for the other. So can we invent a device that allows me to like essentially channel switch through the apps on a thing I've already previously selected? Because that is something I do miss.
For sure.
I miss that about live sports. I'd miss that if we have, you know, like NCAA tournament. I miss the ability to be like, okay, I'm on TBS. Oh, that one on TNT is close. I'm going to flip over. Ooh, that one on CBS is close.
But you can, at least I'm on YouTube TV, with for the exact example you're giving, you can do the multi-box or whatever. But yeah, in general, if you're trying to watch something on one channel, the basically the return button, right? The back button or whatever that we always had on a remote, that's one thing that just doesn't exist for some odd reason. All right, up next, though, let's get back to the coaching carousel and the NFL postseason. A lot to get into with our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. Next.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It's on Cody and Gold.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pass one. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Devontae Adams trade was going to save the Jets. Welcome back to the show, our Vin FL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Yes, welcome back to Vinny Pasquantino. Good to have him on the show yet again. Before we get into some football, we saw you guys were all sharing on social media, your teammates, about a month away from spring training. So we just want to get it out of the way right away. Are you going to be in the best shape of your life here in about a month?
Yeah, I guess so. Best shape of my life.
Honestly, Alex and I were both noticing, maybe it was because you were wearing all black. Thought you were looking pretty svelte.
I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot. I like how my off season has gone, despite what that Jack kid has said. I feel really good heading into this season.
All right. So there was also, we meant to ask you a few weeks ago, there was also a video you were at a gym. I don't know if it was just a random high school gym or something. And you're like, you said, I still got it. And you made like a 3-point shot. Now, just be honest. Was that the first shot right there? Or did you have to do that a few times?
That was take number 2.
I'm not
a liar, guys.
I appreciate
I'm going to tell
it.
You the truth.
Yeah.
That was take number 2. Take number 1 was a brick. That video has since been deleted. And take number two is the only one that exists. So
what did it catch some rim? Like how bad did it miss?
Oh yeah. No, not an air ball or anything. Just straight up miss. It wasn't a terrible miss, just didn't go in.
Can you still dunk?
Still dunk is a hilarious question.
Well, I assumed at some point, you're pretty tall. I assumed at some point you could dunk.
I have no idea. Because the gym, that basketball gym that I was at, that's my dad's high school that he coaches and teaches at.
Oh, nice.
So the only time I have access to it is when he's with me. And if I even try to dunk, he starts screaming at me. So he's not a big fan of me trying to like jump real high and then land. I don't know if you guys knew this. I have a little bit of an injury history since getting to the big leagues.
Yeah.
I'm doing everything I can to not get hurt.
Okay.
Not scared of getting hurt, but trying to just be healthy going into the season, you know? So I'm not allowed to dunk or try to dunk when I'm around my dad.
What does your dad teach?
What does he teach? He teaches IT, I think. This is his first year teaching. He teaches IT.
Okay.
And he coaches the baseball team. It was kind of, he was just going to coach the team. And then a new principal came in and was like, yeah, we're going to need you to teach. Cause I want all three of my football coach, basketball coach, and baseball coach in the building, all day. So he then had to start teaching and they needed an IT teacher and that's his background. So that's
neat.
What he's doing.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Now, you mentioned that, Hey, you try to stay healthy and your dad doesn't want you jumping or whatever. It's why last week when we had the snowstorm here, a couple Chiefs players were on social media saying, hey, I got to shovel my driveway. And a lot of fans were like, oh, no, we don't need you shoveling your own driveway. And a few fans volunteered to shovel. So I guess we'll ask you, Nashville gets snow occasionally too, right? So do you shovel your driveway? Or I think for Royals fans' sake, they would like you to hire somebody.
Well, it did snow on Friday here. It snowed so much that I couldn't go into our facility because My wife thinks that I've never driven in the snow before because I'm from Virginia, but she's from Ohio. So anywhere south of Ohio, she thinks just nobody knows how to drive. Even though I do, I play baseball, so I do own a truck. But no, I didn't shovel. I didn't go anywhere. So I was at my house all weekend. Didn't go anywhere. So Monday, yesterday was the first day I left the house. So there was no need to shovel because it's all gone now.
Great. Sounds like that you were doing exactly what Royals fans want, you know? It's just like dunking.
Yeah, exactly.
No shoveling either, you know? Whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's talk about some of the NFL stuff. We know that Mike Vrabel was one of the targets for the New England, or for the New York Jets, and also for the New England Patriots. Now that Vrabel's off the list, who is your top choice for the Jets?
Probably Aaron Glenn from Detroit, because he's got Jets history. He was he played for the Jets for a while. I think he was drafted by the Jets. I know he played for the Saints too. I think he was drafted by the Jets. So I think him, he seems like he's a pretty good leader, defensive minded guy. Maybe Brian Flores, he's done it before. I don't know. I think they're going to hire a GM first and then move on to the coach. I don't really know what they're going to do. I don't have a good idea yet of what they're going to do. So my people aren't as quick to getting back to me as they used to be. So maybe I was the leak of getting all that stuff out.
Maybe you guys should
maybe it was me.
Maybe you should guys go to Dion, you know, like the Cowboys.
No. no, thank you. And I think he's great. But I'd like a guy who's like coached in the NFL before. Maybe not necessarily head coached in the NFL, but somebody who has coached in the NFL. I think what he's done in Colorado has been awesome. Like, I'm not saying I don't like Dion, but the Jets are not really in a spot to be taking that big of chances right now.
We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, here on 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, we were just discussing Dion and the Cowboys rumors. I still think it's one of those where both Jerry Jones and Dion are kind of playing the game here a little bit. Jerry loves being the center of attention, and Dion, deservedly so, probably wants an extension there at Colorado.
Yeah, I also like can't figure out the Dion stuff. Like, this is my own personal opinion, right? Like, it doesn't mean it's right or whatever, but it seems like him and Shador are like tied together. I don't understand that. Like, let's say, hypothetically speaking, Dion coaches in the NFL and whatever team that is finds a way to get Shador. If Shador is bad and they move on from him, do they also move on from Dion, even if he's pretty good? Like, it's a little bit weird, right? That he's like, Shador has never played for anybody but his dad.
Kind of crazy. I mean, you just said your dad coached, but I mean, I can't imagine if you're just like, I won't play for any major league team but my dad.
Legitimately, when I was 13 years old, and this was his opinion. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't mean it's right. It's just an opinion. But like, when I was 13, I stopped playing for my dad because he didn't want me to be like the guy who played for his dad. Like, he wanted me to like go play for somebody else so then I could like learn different styles of coaching. And, you know, when lineups are made, people know that I'm not hitting where I am or whatever because my dad's the coach. Again, that's just one
makes sense.
Way of thinking. But I've always kind of thought about that with that whole situation. Like, it's at least a little weird in my mind. I don't know. Maybe it's not. It's just, you know.
In your dad's defense, you are now a professional Major League Baseball player, so you probably should have been hitting third for the team.
I actually hit last up until I was like 15.
What?
They used to shift me the other way. Like, I couldn't pull a ball. Like, teams would shift me there. I wasn't very good until I like got to high school. And even like, I played JV as a freshman. Like, I know that's not like a crazy thing, but like, I wasn't like a 4-time letter winner who was awesome. I got cut from the basketball team as a freshman and I played JV baseball. So if you thought I was going to play professional baseball at that point, you were wrong. You were lying to yourself.
Were you still convinced you were going to play professional baseball at that point?
No, I get asked this every once in a while. Like, I didn't think I was going to get drafted until I got drafted, and I never thought I was going to be a major leaguer until, like, a month after I was in the major leagues.
I get it.
That's awesome, though, man. That's really cool. I think that you saying that right there, there's somebody out there listening or whatever, is like, they give some hope to a lot of people, a lot of kids out there.
Yeah, but that's just, I'm also a pessimist. So, like, I got that going for me.
It's the imposter syndrome, you know? You're like, I'm not sure I should be doing this.
Now, someone you...
Yeah, did you guys see my Instagram story the other night?
I don't know if we did. No, tell us.
Wait, which one?
It was a picture of Salvi, than me.
Oh, I did. I did see that.
Yeah.
And if, you were at the case, for those who don't know, you were at the KC Current game, right? I think it was the opener, yeah. Not the opener, but one of the games this past year. And the photo was with who? You, Mahomes, Salvi.
And Bobby Wood Jr.
And Bobby.
And it said Kansas
like
City
$1 billion worth of. $1 billion worth of Kansas City royalty, and I'm also in the picture. So I posted the meme of the four dragons, where there's three really tough-looking dragons, and then a very soft-looking dragon.
You know, it's you were just feeling like it's one of these things is not like the other. Is that how that was feeling for a second?
Well, I mean, we could just go through the contracts, right, from left to right. We'll go. Let's go left to right. Like $100 million over the course of Salvi's career, maybe something like that.
I mean, 80 plus in his last one. So yeah, at least.
I'm on league minimum. Then you've got 10 and 500, whatever it is, whatever Mahomes makes, and then you've got the
$300 million.
So. Add that up and tell me who the weak link of that group is.
All right, you all go out to dinner. Let's say the four of you are out for dinner. Who picks up the check?
They probably make me pick up the check. Well, first off, those three aren't – they don't have to pay probably anywhere
true.
In Kansas City.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, I'm probably paying for my own meal.
And they're getting it comp?
Like, they just bring one check, and it's just for me. And the rest is comp.
Man, that's fine.
That's probably accurate as we're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. Now, back to the NFL for a second, because you watched this guy play quarterback for multiple years in a Jets uniform. Then this year, he's been in a Vikings uniform, and for 95% of the year, he was great. And then Sam Darnold, the last two games, including last night. I mean, I've never seen someone, unfortunately, cost themselves so much money that they, I would say, earned themselves during their year and almost gave it all back last night.
So I'm going to have to go hand up here. I did not watch 1 second of football last night.
All right.
It went poorly. He got sacked nine times.
I was asleep at like 9 o'clock, and I woke up this morning with like 17 text messages talking to me about Sam Darnold, about how he looks like Jets Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Seeing ghosts, different things like that. So I suppose it didn't go great for him. But then I looked at the box score. He got sacked 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how many of those
ties
were like
a playoff record,
whatever,
I believe.
But sounds like it was a tough night for the Vikings last night. And I think it's kind of what everybody predicted, though, was that whoever lost that game last week, Vikings or Lions, like playing the Rams is no fun. And the Vikings are now out of the playoffs. So that sucks for them. And Sam Darnold, like, I don't know what you do here if you're the Vikings or any other team. I think if you're any other team, you're hoping he hits the market, because it's like, we've seen him play good quarterback. Now, we've seen him play not so good quarterback too, but you've seen him play good. And there's going to be a coach out there that's like, I can handle this. He got him to the playoffs. Like, that's more than a lot of quarterbacks do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him.
What about the other preview for the games that are still left, the teams that are still in? Let's just start with who the Chiefs could face in the AFC title game. Who do you think is the better team between the Ravens and Bills?
I have no idea.
They seem comparable, don't they? They seem really like close.
It feels like the Bills would fare better against the Chiefs, but it feels like the Ravens fare better against the Bills. Like, I'm just talking about because the Ravens obviously run the ball. The Chiefs do a phenomenal job of stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills' defense is, like, okay, I guess. I mean, it's not like we really saw them get tested against Denver, even though Denver goes over the top, scores a touchdown, and then never goes over the top again the rest of the game, which I thought was strange. I think the Bills are better, but I also think that the Ravens are going to beat them. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it does. Matchups matter. Like, if you put them against any team, you like
the Ravens do not have to pass the ball. They don't have to. No. They will. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They don't have to.
No. I mean, I can't argue at least that side.
I don't know. I'm glad they put it on Sunday night. That's going to be a cool finisher for the weekend, even though I'll be at a basketball game, so I won't even get to watch that game.
Where are you going?
I'll be in Orlando. I'm going to the Orlando Magic Denver Nuggets basketball game.
Is there that you can share? Is there a reason why you're going to that game?
Yeah, I'm going on vacation, which I do every January.
Nice.
And I'm going to Orlando.
You going to go to Disney while you're there?
Yeah, going to Disney the following Wednesday, something like that.
Okay.
And then I'll be back in
ready to go.
And I'll be back ready to go. That's right.
You know, before somebody else accuses you of something on Instagram, at least on the Chiefs game, do you fear this game at all for the Chiefs? Or are you like us yet? Where in Kansas City, I have a hard time taking the divisional round seriously sometimes. I know that sounds spoiled.
Yeah, I mean, as you should.
But like they're in the AFC title game every year. Why am I supposed to worry about this round?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a football game. You know, anything could hypothetically happen. I don't see anything weird hypothetically happening. But yeah, I think you're going to be sitting pretty in the AFC title game the next week. And I think whoever you play, it'll be a fun game, or at least should be a fun game.
Looking forward to that. Hey, over on the text line, Vinny, real quick, we need some checkups. From the 620, hey, has Vinny finished watching The Blacklist yet? They want to know how you thought about the ending.
Yeah, I finished watching The Blacklist. I thought the ending was hilarious. It was dumb, like I was told it was by probably that same person.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I thought it was fine. Like, it needed to end somehow, and I don't think when they wrote the show, they knew how they were going to end it, and they just figured out a way to do it.
I didn't know. I mean, I've never seen it. Is it worth watching even though you didn't like, or you thought the ending was funny?
I like the show. I like the show. And like the way that my life is set up in the off season, I need something to do. So having a show that's like 11 seasons or 10 seasons, whatever it is, that's good for me.
What's the new one you picked up? You were asking social media for suggestions yesterday or like a week ago.
I haven't. I've started like three different shows. Nothing's clicked yet for me. I'm still working on my game, trying to find something before the season hits.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to training. I hear somebody in the background as well, maybe giving you a hard time.
It's probably Brent Rooker.
Yeah. No, he's not here today, but yeah, we're about to start hitting.
So. All right, man, we'll let you go. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. There you go.
That's Vinny Pasquantino, our VFL insider.
Did someone say, let's go, in the background?
I thought that's what I heard. That's why I was like, all right, let's go. I think they're giving a hard time. Somebody's like, let's go, Vinny. Let's go. We're about a month away from spring training. Learned some new stuff there from Vinny at the beginning, though. I didn't know his dad was a basketball coach and everything. That explains the video and everything, too.
Well, it said he stopped playing for his dad baseball-wise when he was 13, didn't let his dad coach baseball anymore. That's fun.
Someone says, Vinny sounds like he's cleaning the house or doing something else.
Just
at the
end there, I think someone was trying to encourage him to go hit.
It's because he's at the training facility in Nashville. He's getting ready for the season, and they're going to get some stuff in. So
look, that game last night, I know Vinny didn't catch a lot of that.
Oh,
I have never, do you know, like in the heyday of Deal or No Deal, and you're watching these people and they're like, we're offering you $500,000. And you're like, I'm opening another case. And then the next deal is like 70K. And you're like, look what you did to yourself. Do you see what you've done? Do you see how much money you've cost yourself by opening that extra case? You idiot. I don't know how much money Sam Darnold has lost in the last 14 days, Gold. But, I mean, it's millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Tens of millions of dollars?
No doubt. I mean, he earned himself millions and millions of dollars for the first 16 weeks of the season. But the last two, I think he's given like 80% of it back. I don't think that's even that crazy of a number to say, like, that he's given back, because the decision now is so much easier for the Vikings. I'm not saying that nobody's going to sign him and he's guaranteed to be a backup again. That's not what I'm saying. But the whole debate that we were all having because of how great he played, like, all right, do you tag Darnold and just have him one more year when you have JJ McCarthy, or do you give a long-term deal to Darnold and trade JJ McCarthy? All of that is over. It's easy now. If you're Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings, you're the Vikings organization. Unfortunately for Darnold, you're done. The decision's easy. You're going to let him walk. You're going to let him. You're not going to. By the way, the franchise tag number is over $40 million for a quarterback next year. They're not tagging him. It's over.
You spent your pick on JJ McCarthy. He's your guy.
Because he was great all year, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. But the big games are how you're judged. We just yesterday got done trashing to a certain extent Justin Herbert for not winning the big games. That's what you're judged on. Stroud, Jaden Daniels, Matthew Stafford win big games. Darnold and Herbert have not.
And he had back-to-back big games. It's not just he had one bad. If he had played well in the Detroit game, but they lost, and then they just lost this one, it'd still be like, damn, you got 14 wins and you're an early exit? Tough. But in the two biggest games of the year, in which they could secure the number one seed, push themselves into the next round of the playoffs, he was awful. And then in the following week, he was worse. Because the truth is about those 9 sacks, yeah, half of them are probably on the actual Vikings offensive line. He clutched on and held on to that ball so long last night, like he had the yips and didn't know he was allowed to throw it. like it was stuck in his hand.
The ghost thing again, Cody.
And his arm wouldn't physically allow his brain to throw it forward. It was not that he played bad. He froze. He was unwilling to throw the football. Meanwhile, the Rams are exactly as you and I and everyone else have been saying. We're not alone by any means. When Matt Stafford is on, he's a top. Like, honestly, probably just say this because that's every quarterback. Matt Stafford's a top five quarterback still. They're not nine quarterbacks better than the level of play he gives you at their peak. Like, he just, when he has that first drive, it didn't even look hard. He's out here, like, deking guys and then just, like, clicking it over to Kyren Williams in the middle of the field. He's messing with people a lot of the times.
They're fresh. They're healthy. We discussed that. Like, you know, Sean McVay, some people were critical of, like, hey, you rested your stars in Week 18. Now you got to play the winner of the Vikings-Lions game. Why would you do that? You could play the Commanders instead or whatever it would have been.
Yeah.
And this is why. Because if that team's going to go on a run, they have to be fresh and healthy. And Stafford's getting up there in age. We know that. So he got some extra time. And also for them to do it with the distraction that some people thought it was with the terrible wildfires that are going on in LA, for them to travel and have their families travel with them and do everything that they had to do in that 3-day span to change the venue and all that, I thought made it even more impressive to perform the way they did. And now they're going to take on an Eagles team. They're underdogs in that game. And I wouldn't rule out the chance of the Rams winning that game against the Eagles. I think when they're fresh and healthy, they're as good as anybody in the NFC at times. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay, I think we all agree, is one of the best coaches in the league, and he showed that again last night.
Second or third best, probably, if you made me actually rank him out. But yeah, I mean, he's one of the best. If not, like, look, the only guy I wouldn't argue with, at least on this end, is I wouldn't argue with Reed. Any other person, I would do whatever to make the argument on. Like, yeah, that's probably going to be the case, and that would be there. But outside of that, yeah, I'm not going to make a argument or a difference, at least on that end. I just think that they're really good. They're really, really, really
their defense,
good.
You know, we all know it's been a couple of years, post-Aaron Donald, but to their credit, they draft, you know, we said they mortgaged the future and all this kind of stuff by trading all those picks for a little bit, and they had a reset, and they kind of did a little bit of a reset last year, the Rams did.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, Verse is on the defensive line. He's legit. Like, they've kind of rebuilt that defensive line.
He cared about the picks now, and he's helped himself by doing so. He just didn't care about trading them when it got him a Super Bowl. Their whole thing is still related to quarterback, which is, does McVay want to walk away when Stafford is done? Because then, otherwise, you got to go back through the quarterback search. Stafford is 36. I bet he's still got a couple of high-level years left in his play based on the way he's still playing. But we know that McVay flirted with retirement at one point, like moving to the media stuff, taking a slight step back. Because for some people, it's a grind. Being an NFL head coach is nuts. The amount of hours, the amount of time you put into this stuff, it's crazy. But they can absolutely beat anybody on the NFC side. They can beat the Eagles. Yeah. They can beat the Lions. They can beat whoever. I don't know that they will, but they can. Yeah. They definitely can beat those teams. Cooper Kupp is a decoy right now. Puka Nakua.
Yeah, he didn't even have a huge game.
They didn't even have a huge game. No. Stafford had 200 yards passing in a half, and then they just shut it down.
You get a fumble return for a touchdown or whatever it was, that automatically puts you in a pretty good spot. But the Rams will travel to Philly on Sunday. We'll talk later in the week about all the matchups, but remember, on the NFC side, it's going to be the Lions Commanders Saturday night, and then the other NFC game we now know, Rams traveling to Philadelphia Sunday afternoon, and then the Chiefs Saturday afternoon, Bills Ravens Sunday night. That's the way the playoff schedule is going to work. Up next here, we'll continue talking about the divisional round right here on Cody and Gold, and what the last 5 to 10 years have been with playoff upsets, and I know we don't want to think about it, but where would an upset this weekend stack up? That's next.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.